I'd like to welcome everyone out again to the evening service, and we welcome back as our preacher this evening, Mr. Ian Campbell. Ian is the Clerk of Session in Mourne Free Presbyterian Church. On Thursday at 8 p.m. is the Bible study and prayer meeting, and the Reverend Leckie will take that meeting. And next Lord's Day, the services at the usual times of 11:30 and 7, and those services will also be taken by the Reverend Leckie. I know the people here will continue to remember the Kerrigan family at this time. And just for an update, Thomas's funeral will be on Wednesday at 2 p.m. in Castlederrick Free Presbyterian Church, and the interment will follow in Castlederrick Cemetery.
I do want to thank our brother Peter for those kind words of welcome. It has been a joy to renew fellowship with you here today in Six Mile Cross, and we trust that afresh this evening the Lord whom we seek might suddenly come to his temple, that he might visit us, and that we might go away with our hearts drawn out in deeper love for the Saviour and encouraged, and if you're unsaved, that the Lord in his mercy will speak to your heart and draw you savingly unto himself. It's possibly not normally done that we commence our service with a psalm, but it is a lovely psalm, and it's in keeping with the theme that we will be looking at from God's word in due course. So we're going to turn, please, to Psalm 25. You'll find it on the page number 21. We're going to sing, first of all, the first six verses, and then we will turn over to the following page and sing from verse 20 down to the end of the psalm. So Psalm number 25 on page 21, verses 1 to 6, and then verse 20. To the end, and let's stand together as we commence our worship of the Lord, please.
Thank you.
Let us draw near to the Lord, even in the word of prayer tonight. So very conscious of our need afresh of him to draw near for this hour and to go with us, to open the scriptures to our hearts and to reveal those things concerning himself. Let's all still our hearts before him and let's seek the Lord's presence and blessing. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee that we come before thee tonight, the one true and living God. We bless thee that we come before one who is faithful to his promises, one who will never allow any jot or tittle of his word to go unfulfilled. But, O God, we thank thee that we can speak of thee as one who is faithful, one whose mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. O God, when we look back over life from that day, first hour when we met the Lord, and when by grace we were brought to the Saviour, O God, we thank thee that throughout the changing scenes of life, thou hast been faithful to us. O God, there has not aught failed of all thy good promise. But, O God, we bless thee that thou hast provided for us. Thou hast supplied each and every need day by day. O God, we come and we give thee praise and thanks tonight, even for that daily grace granted to us, even to walk with thee, even to live for thee, and, O God, to do battle, even for our great Commander-in-Chief, our Lord Jesus Christ. And, O our Father, tonight we come and we thank thee for blessing us in basket and in store. O God, we rejoice in all thy goodness to us. Lord, thou wilt never leave nor forsake thy people. O God, we know that even though days may be difficult and trials may come, yet, Lord, we can rest assured in the truth that thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us, that thou wilt ever grant that sustaining and that helping grace, that thou wilt, Lord, provide for us, and that thou wilt ever minister to us in each and every need. O God, we remember how the psalmist said that I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And O Father, tonight we thank thee for thy thoughts toward us, the thoughts of a heavenly Father, those thoughts of peace, those thoughts of tenderness and of carefulness for us. Oh, we rejoice tonight that we can cast our every care upon thee, for thou art the one that ever careth for thy children. Oh God, how precious we are to thee. Lord, it makes us to marvel tonight when we consider, Lord, how precious we are to thee. Lord, so sinful, so prone to wander, so, Lord, given over to iniquity. And yet, Lord, we rejoice how it comforts our souls to remember that thou thinkest, Lord, on me, that, Lord, we're precious to thee, that, O God, thou dost joy over us with singing, that, Lord, we're the most precious, as it were, of jewels even to our Redeemer. For, oh, what a cost it cost Christ to redeem us from our sin. Oh, Father, we pray that we might never doubt thee in the trials and the difficulties of life. But, Lord, we might realize that, Lord, all these things are sent by a God of love, a Father of mercy, even to us as children. And we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt help us to trust thee even when the way is dark, even when, Lord, there seems to be no reason why such things would come across our path. When, Lord, what thou doest, we know not now. Lord, help us to trust thee that one day we shall know, and we shall see that it was our Father that planned it so, and he planned it for our mercy, and he planned it that he might mould us and fashion us more and more into the image of our Redeemer, and he planned it for our good. And oh Father, though so often we're like the dear old patriarch of old, and when we cry out in our despair, all these things are against us. But Lord, we realize that, Lord, thou hast planned it, that thine eternal purpose might be fulfilled. Thou hast planned it for our good, and even for the good of others, even for the good of our homes, even for the blessing of our congregations. Oh, Father, help us to willingly submit to the dealings and the doings of the Lord with our souls. And help us, Lord, indeed with confidence, to trust thee in coming days. Oh, Lord, we live in days when iniquity abounds. We live in days, Lord, when there is so much sin, when there is so much barrenness in the Church of Jesus Christ. But, oh, Father, we pray for a breath of the Spirit of God. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt revive us again, that we might rejoice in thee. O God, take away the coldness that so easily, Lord, grips our souls, and give us, Lord, a warmth and a love and a deeper devotion to Christ, we pray. O Father, come and help us. We pray, our Father, tonight for all who need thee. Lord, remember the persecuted church tonight worldwide. Remember, Lord, the missionaries, Lord, of our denomination and others who are faithful to Christ and his word. Lord, bless them in their service for thee. We pray, our Father, for this family that we have been remembering and reminding thee of even today, the Kerrigan family. Lord, remember them and grant them thy grace. And grant them, O God, thy sustaining help and comfort in these days, we pray thee. And Lord, we pray for others. Lord, maybe tonight one in this gathering who is anxious, who carries a great burden, a burden that they cannot share with anyone else. But Lord, we thank thee they can share it with thee. And we pray that thou wilt give that needed grace to carry the burden, Lord, to be able to uphold the load that would so easily bear down upon them, we pray. So hear us and help us tonight. Visit us in this time of worship. And we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts would truly be accepted in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we further worship the Lord in the words of 464? 464, continuing that good singing and praise unto the Lord. We'll stand together to sing 464 on the page number 363, please. Could we turn, please, this evening to Psalm number 28. Psalm number 28, please. And we're going to read together the whole psalm. Psalm number 28, then, please. And reading together all the verses of this psalm. A psalm of David. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest, if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked, and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbours, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavours. Give them after the work of their hands, render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. Amen. We look to the Lord to bless to all of our hearts the public reading of his infallible word. We're going to turn again to our hymn books, this time as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings for the work of the Lord in this house. We're going to turn to 462, please. 462, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. We'll remain seated for the first part of this hymn, please. Let's stand for the remainder of the hymn, please. Could we turn back again, please, to that psalm we read just a moment or two ago, Psalm number 28, our text. We'll really speak about the whole psalm and mention things from the whole of this precious psalm of David. But our text is especially the verse 7, especially those words in the middle of that psalm, "My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped." Trusting Jehovah for future days. That's what we want to look at this evening. The Lord enabling us. Let's ask him even just now for his help, not only in the pulpit, but in the pew, that the Lord would draw near and go with us. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the experiences of thy servant David. We thank thee, Lord, that he could trust thee. And we thank thee that in the changing scenes of life as believers, we have proved thee o'er and o'er. O God, we thank thee that, Lord, thy word is forever settled in heaven. Thy promises are forever true. And we thank thee, Lord, that in Christ we have, Lord, one that sticketh closer than any brother. And oh, we pray tonight that as we come to consider the experiences of David at this time and the blessed lessons that we can learn even from these precious words, oh Father, be pleased to speak, be pleased to encourage, and be pleased to challenge all our souls. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. David the psalmist is raising his Ebenezer to the Lord. He's acknowledging that help that he had known from the Lord. Also, this is a psalm of trust. For David, in these words, speaks of his total dependence upon the Lord in the past, for the present, and also for the future. He speaks of two challenges that he had faced. Notice with me, firstly, in the verse 1, David faced a time whenever he felt that God seemed silent to his prayers. But his response to such a challenge is one of trust and continuing even in prayer. Notice in verse 2, underline the words with me there in verse 2, where he says, "Supplications, when I cry unto thee." That word supplications, it's in the plural. And it's surely showing the psalmist's persistence and continuance in the place of prayer. Notice, he says, "I cry unto thee." He sought the Lord with all his heart, even though it seemed as though at this time that the Lord were silent to his prayers. Let me remind you of the sisters of Lazarus. How that their plea to Christ was purposely delayed. Was not God the Father in this sense silent to his well-beloved Son when Christ prayed those three times in Gethsemane in his agony, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as thou wilt will, but as thou wilt." But Hebrews 5 reminds us that Christ was heard, that Christ's prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death was heard and that he feared. But his cup could not pass from him. For remember, there was no other way to save lost sinners but Calvary. The hymn writer sums it up so very well when he penned these words: "Before the stars were hung or planets fashioned, before the clay was formed to make a man, Christ was the Lamb of God for sinners offered. This was redemption's one and only plan. There was no other way a God of love could find to reconcile the world and save a lost mankind. It took the death of his own son upon the tree. There was no other way but Calvary. And Christian, as this year continues to unfold before us, undoubtedly we will know challenging times in the place of prayer whenever the Lord seems silent. But oh, like David, let us continue to supplicate. Let us continue to cry, and let us continue to trust. David faced a further challenge. Just like us, he faced the challenge of increasing wickedness. We read of that in verse 3. When he speaks of the wicked, the workers of iniquity, those which speak peace to their neighbours, but mischief is in their hearts. And of the days I believe that we are living in, Paul penned those words from the Lord to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I want you to realize tonight, dear child of God, that sin comes in cycles. And that's exactly what David was experiencing here. Sins that had been known in the past coming again in another cycle, in another wave. Only this time it was worse than the former time. And if the Lord does not intervene in our province in particular and in our nation in general, undoubtedly this year we'll see, as it elapses, an increasing of iniquity. The Lord Jesus spoke of iniquity abounding. And yet, despite these challenges, David continues to trust for the future the same Lord in whom he had placed his confidence in past days. And so tonight I want to, taking verse 7 particularly as my text, I want to look at this theme of trusting the Lord, trusting Jehovah for future days. Just three thoughts we would like the Lord helping us to leave with you this evening. Notice with me, firstly, David's trust. Notice what he says here in verse 7. My heart trusted in him. You see, David's trust was with all his heart. Notice with me that in this verse 7, David's heart is mentioned twice. My heart trusted in him, therefore my heart greatly rejoiced. The fact that David mentions his heart twice shows his sincerity. It also signifies his total dependence upon the Lord and shows surely his intense gratitude to God for his mercies. The word heart here literally means his whole being. We are to trust Jehovah with our will, our feelings, our mind. We are to trust him with every part of our being. Oh, let me remind you tonight of the words of Proverbs chapter 3 and the verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. David's trust was with all his heart. Also, notice the one who David trusted. My heart trusted in him, our text tells us. The word him surely leads us to look back, not only, I believe, to the opening words of our text, but also to the verse 1 of this psalm. We have in these verses a wonderful description of Jehovah whom David trusted. It's very interesting. You look at it, even tonight when you go home, that every time David describes his God. He calls him Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It means Jehovah. You'll see it in verse 1 and verses 5 to 8. Five times in total, David describes his God as Lord in capital letters. It simply means Jehovah, the great I Am, the one who is unchanging throughout every generation. Regardless of what's going on in the world tonight, I can point you to one who changes not, the great I Am, the God of glory. He is not only the unchanging God throughout every generation, but he is the covenant or the promise-keeping God. Notice in verse 5, we are reminded here by David of the works of the Lord, his providential dealings and mercy. In verse 6, he praised the Lord as the one who answered prayer. But notice when you go back to verse 1, he describes the Lord as his rock. You see, the Lord is the one that David could depend upon or rest his full weight upon, as you might do upon a rock. He was the one who was his sure foundation. But I believe the word rock could also carry with it the thought of being David's fountain. Yes, David's fountain. Because I believe that David surely had in his mind that incident in the wilderness when Moses smote the rock and the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. You can read of that in Psalm 79, or 78, I beg your pardon. You see, the Lord was the source of all the good that David had known and all the good that David possessed. He is the fount of every blessing. What fullness, what satisfaction is found in him. And may I ask you tonight, whether in the building or even joining us remotely, are you seeking satisfaction tonight in this world? This world will leave you empty. I'm reminded tonight of that woman that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to by the well, and she had had many husbands, and the man with whom she was now living was not her husband. In other words, for all of her sin, she had never been satisfied. But that day she met one who could satisfy her. For she met Christ, and only Christ can satisfy her. I want you to notice also that not only does he speak of him as the rock, the foundation and the fountain, but additionally in verse 7, David describes the Lord as my strength. For the Lord is the one whose strength is made perfect in weakness. And lastly, David describes the Lord as a shield, his protector and his defense. I know you've been often told that the Hebrew language is a very pictorial language. And in this word shield, there is the picture of the tough, scaly hide of the crocodile. That's the picture here. Their hide sets them apart from other reptiles and other animals. You see, the crocodile has a unique and formidable defense. And tonight, Christian, you and I have a unique and a formidable defense. Our defense is not only unique, but it is impassable. Christ is stronger than the strong man. And no wonder David could say, he is my protector, he is my defense. I have a unique source of strength in the Lord Jehovah. But furthermore, I want you to notice in David's trust that just trusting in the Lord was a help to the psalmist David. Notice the link here in verse 7. My heart trusted in him, notice, and I am helped. Just rolling the burden on the Lord. Tell me to Christian tonight, are you burdened? Just roll it onto the Lord. There are burdens, we can't carry the burden. The hymn writer put it this way, trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whate'er befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Oh, may the Lord give us grace to trust him more. I want you to notice secondly here in the words of our text, not only David's trust, but David's help. The help that David experienced, as we've said, came from trusting the Lord. He knew help in every circumstance and in every situation of his life. I want you to notice how David describes here the help that he received as he trusted in the Lord. I want you to notice that it was a present help. Let's read the words very carefully together. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. He says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. He is that present help. The Lord was with him. The Lord enabled him. The Lord gave him grace in every circumstance of life. And men and women, we have said it often today from this pulpit, and it bears repeating again and again, that the Lord Jesus will never forsake his people. We are precious to him. He will ever be there to sustain and to help, to guard and to guide, and to undertake for us. And David's able to say here, the Lord gives me present help for every circumstance of life. I want you to notice that the Lord gives personal and corporal help. It's interesting when we compare verse 7 with verse 8. Notice in the verse 7, it speaks of the individual. The Lord is my strength. And then notice the words of verse 8. The Lord is their strength. You see, the Lord helps the individual. Wasn't that true of the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry? As he met the various needs of individuals, Christ met with the woman at Sychar's well, with the demoniac of Gadara, with blind Bartimaeus, and so many others. The Lord loves individuals, and the glorious truth of the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ came to save individuals. If you're not saved tonight, he came to save you. And I want you to notice the Lord, that David, as shepherd, knew the value of individuals. He knew the value of one lamb or one sheep. Remember how that David, the shepherd, David who had the shepherd's heart, he could speak in 1 Samuel 17 to Saul of the fact that there came the lion and the bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against him, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. Because like the Lord, David knew the value of individuals. But in verse 8, I want you to notice there is the thought of a body of people. The Lord is their strength. And oh, tonight, will you not think with me for a moment of the compassion of Christ for the multitudes? The Lord can give this congregation and every individual in it help this year as it continues. All who labor for him Within this congregation, the Lord is able to give you that strength and that help and that grace and that guidance that you need. You need a pastor for this flock. It's not so long ago since we were in that place in Mourn. But we ask the Lord to work in our hearts, that he would knit our heart to the man of his choosing. And we ask the Lord to work in the man's heart, that he would give him a burden for the work of God in Kilkeel. And the Lord, in answer to that prayer, how gracious is our God. He met that need. He'd meet your need too. Don't be discouraged, child of God. Don't give up. The Lord gives individual. The Lord gives corporal help. I want you to notice the Lord gives continual help. Notice again our text in verse 7. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. There's help for every day. We've said it so often tonight already. Doesn't it bear repeating? He gives continual help in every circumstance. The Lord can never be impoverished by his giving. He is limitless supply of grace. The word I am helped, that word helped, it means to surround. It means to protect. It carries with it the thought of succoring his children. And that reminds me tonight of that precious word in Hebrews 2 and verse 18, where we're told that for in that he, speaking of Christ, himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And men and women, if you look at that verse in Hebrews 2 and verse 18, twice over in that verse, the word tempted is used. And I want you to understand tonight, it's the exact same Greek word on both occasions. So in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted just in the same very way that you and I are tempted. He knew the same temptations. He experienced the same trials as you are experiencing tonight. But let me remind you that Hebrews 4 and 15 reminds us that even though he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin. And oh, tonight, think with me of the great I am. My heart trusted in him. Psalm 28, verse 7. And I am helped. Here's the name of the Lord, the name of Jehovah, the great I am. And in him we have continual help. But it is certain help. David is definitive here. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Notice the ED on the end of helped. I am helped. It's definitive. It's sure. It's certain. God will keep his promise. I want you to notice one final point with me tonight. I want you to notice, please, David's praise. Our text is a very interesting text of Scripture. Now, I want you to think with me and stay with me. Because three times it shows what happens within the heart and the consequences it produces in the believer's life. Three times. Notice while I point them out. The Lord is my strength. That's what happens within the heart, within the life of the believer. Now, what happens outside the believer? He goes on to say, and my shield. The Lord gives him the consequences of the fact that the Lord is my strength. He gives to the psalmist His protection. That's the first one. Notice secondly, my heart trusted in him. That's what happens within the heart of every believer. And notice, I am helped. In other words, outside in the believer's circumstances, that believer that trusts in the Lord, he knows the Lord's help. Thirdly and finally, my heart greatly rejoices. There's a rejoicing heart here. There's a rejoicing within the heart and life of the child of God. But notice that cannot be contained. Because I want you to see with my song, I will praise him. Because outside, the believer bursts into praise, even unto his God. The psalmist said he put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto my God. And what happened within David's heart and the consequences it produced in his life made David full of praise. That expression, therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, it means to leap for joy. The thought is that the burden has been lifted. There's a spring in his step. There's joy in his soul. His joy was very great. It was joy unspeakable and full of glory. It wasn't carnal but spiritual. It was a heart joy, a joy in the Holy Ghost. For the true lasting joy of the believer is found in the believer's heart that trusts in the Lord. Wonder tonight, are you burdened? You carry a heavy burden as you go throughout this year. May this verse encourage you to keep trusting the Lord and his promises that you will know his help. Or maybe I'm speaking to one tonight as we conclude our message. And you're unsaved. You carry that great burden of sin. You're like Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress. Oh, what a burden of sin you bear. May you know that great burden of sin lifted. May you be given a new song in your heart. The song of the soul set free. The song of praise. Even unto your God. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. What a lovely psalm. David's trust, David's help, and David's praise. Oh, may the Lord take these few simple thoughts and write them with grace and with power and with comfort upon our hearts, even for his great namesake. We're going to sing in closing the hymn number 458. 458, there's only two verses, but my, what encouragement is found in these two verses of this precious hymn. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. Praying over the words as we stand together to worship the Lord in the words of 458, please.
Give more grace when the burden's on.
Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for the inexhaustible supplies of grace that are found in Christ. We bless thee, our Father, that in him all fullness dwells. We pray tonight and in coming days that we might, Lord, know what it is to be strengthened through those reservoirs of grace. May we know what it is to lean heavily upon our beloved as we walk through the wilderness of this world. May we know what it is to have that grace of God work in our hearts, a greater trusting and reliance and dependence upon our God. O Father, in thy mercy, bless us, we pray, in coming days. We know not what tomorrow will bring, but we know the one that holds the future. And we pray that thou wilt draw near to us, that thou wilt ever comfort us, and that thou wilt ever satisfy each and every individual and corporal need too. So part us in thy fear, with thy blessing. Lord, take us in safety to our homes, we pray. And Lord, make us a blessing, not only in our homes, but also in thy will in our communities. We pray in Jesus' precious and all-worthy name. Amen. Amen.